Breakfast Radio, Neil, Sam, Jane, and the Four Seasons in Walk Like a Man, 7 minutes after 9 o'clock on a day when both Sam and Jane honestly have been, I don't mean this in a mean way, but they've kind of been dragging a little bit today because they were out at the theater yesterday.
Yes.
Till 10:50 last night.
10:50. I was in the car.
Late night for morning radio
in
people.
In the driveway at 11:45 and just looking at the clock going, 3 more hours of sleep. 2 more hours of sleep. Just get up.
But it was
all
so
for
worth
a good
it.
Cause because they were out seeing the Jersey Boys last night and the fellas are in the studio with
us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess the best way to start is let's just go one direction or the other. Whoever wants to start, tell us who you are and who you play.
I'm Johnny Wexler. I play Frankie Valli.
I'm Jonathan Cable. I play Nick Massey.
I'm Corey Green, and I play Tommy DeVito.
I'm Eric Chambliss, and I play Bob Gaudio.
Yeah, so amazing. So Walk Like a Man, we just heard the song, and there was a terrific explanation last night. So Walk Like a Man is the harder Jersey sound because there had been a couple of soft Four Seasons songs prior to that, right? I didn't know that story. And so the choreography and everything else was so fantastic in that. But do you guys have a favorite song? Is there one that you like to perform that's your favorite?
I mean, there's nothing quite like singing Can't Take My Eyes Off of You at the end of the show. The show is kind of constructed around that being like the pinnacle cathartic moment for both the audience and kind of the Frankie reaching the pinnacle of his success. But I mean, there's a plethora of amazing tracks, and I think maybe the first time you hear the guys sing together, it's a smaller, lesser known tune called Cry For Me around the piano. It's the first time you really hear the sound.
You can feel it all kind of come together at that point.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about this play that resonates to this day, and yet it's an old story from the 60s and 70s?
Well, I think it's I think the first thing that resonates is the music, obviously. I mean, it's these songs that you know, that you've grown up with, that you have a personal connection to or share a memory with somebody over. And then it's the true story of these guys who started out in the most unfortunate of circumstances, mm-hmm. and you know, inexplicably rose to international stardom, you know, and they really had no right to do that, but they did by working hard, you know, and sticking together.
Now, Johnny, one of the things that strikes me as I'm just listening to you talk here this morning is that accent aside, your speaking voice is almost, I'm assuming this is your natural speaking voice, it's exactly like Frankie Valli, accent aside, but talk to me about that falsetto.
I never thought about it like that. Maybe it is. Actually isn't my voice. No. I'm lip syncing right now.
It's a stupid voice, yeah. But talk to me about the falsetto. I mean, how hard is that to do?
You know, it's definitely a very iconic sound, and it's certainly something I work on, and you know, you kind of start to think about singing as like using a muscle that you mm-hmm. are training to use. But in terms of the falsetto, I guess I'm fortunate to be able to say that is not hard. That's not a difficult part of my show. It's not something that I stress out over. It's not something that it's just something that happens.
Well, because I mean, we've had a lot of musicians and singers come into the room, and this time of day, for example, is nightmarishly bad if you're a rock and roll singer, because to try and hit anything that you've ever hit.
The show is vocally taxing, but really, to be honest, it's more the talking that's taxing. The singing, you know, it is, you know. Yesterday, where we did 6 hours of singing, and it's not. If you're doing it right, it's not that bad. But it can add up. I don't know. It depends. It really depends on every day you start the show. You kind of have a different toolbox of what your voice is, and it's kind of your job to figure out how you're going to get to the top of this mountain and back down the mountain using a different set of tools every single day.
So all these amazing songs and these hit records, there's tragedy behind the scenes, right? So there's this, and it's always interesting and compelling to me to learn about a group's real story, because we only know the polished version, right? As consumers and listeners, we know these stories, you know, Sherry Speaks to Me, or, you know, whatever the song is, but learning about the backstory of these boys and just coming together, falling apart, the tragedies in their personal life. Was it surprising to learn the storylines for you guys?
Well, that's one thing that I really love about the show is that when you hear a group like the Four Seasons or like any celebrity group, any celebrity on TV, whatever, you don't always get the backstory and hear the struggle of their daily lives. And with this show, you really get a relatable story for everyone of just human beings going through struggle and what it took for them to get to the top, to where they ended up. I mean, they defined a generation or more. Mm-hmm.
And I think those hard times make the good times that much sweeter. You know, Definitely. Tommy drags us into some syrup and we end up in some pretty sick situations. Yeah. But
syrup is a very nice way to put it.
But you know,
deep syrup, yes.
It's kind of Rich triumphing Mahogany. Over those hardships that make that victory that much better. You know, Bob has to go in and fight so hard to get can't take my eyes off of you into popular radio. Mm-hmm. And that ends up being one of the most popular songs in their library. So,
That's what I thought when we were leaving last night. I said, turned to my husband and I said, you know, that play is really a reflection of life. Mm-hmm. You know, like you never get it all. You never get all the good and all your whole life.
Yeah, it really
right?
encompasses like the full breadth of kind of human experience and existence. But to see them struggle, like I think a lot of people think that, you know, when people hear a song, they're like, oh, that's the hit, that's it, everybody agrees and it goes on the radio. Or like even with a movie, like you hear big celebrities or stars from like Brad Pitt to George Clooney talking about how they struggled and struggled and struggled to get this movie made, and then it ends up winning awards and you're like, why was there a struggle, why didn't everybody see it? But it's not like that. And so they really spent time convincing people and kind of literally banging down doors to get their music heard and recognized.
Well, and you talk about the struggles of putting something like that together. I mean, the four of you as well. I mean, this is not just you're not just together.
It's a struggle,
Toronto.
If that's what you mean.
That's what they were saying about you.
But this is, I mean,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, we're really good actors if we look together.
But the four of you haven't just assembled for the Toronto gig. Like, you guys are on the road together, almost like the Four Seasons were, right? Because you were somewhere else before. You're going somewhere else. The limited run here that's only on till
March
17th.
Yeah. 17th. And then you're off again to where's next?
North Carolina.
Do you ever get a sense as you're doing these shows around, like, do you ever sort of conflate the two and feel like you're in the Four Seasons?
I'm absolutely. I mean, you really have those moments where you wake up in a hotel, you know, you're in a hotel sometimes, you know, a different hotel almost every night in a week, and you wake up, you don't know where you are, you know, you're like, what city am I in? And Frankie mentions that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it does help to inform this experience for us as a group and as a company as a whole, mm-hmm. too. Like, because these guys, you know, slogged it out for years.
That's why I don't tour as a stand-up anymore. Did I ever tell you that story? One morning, I was on the road for 8 weeks. I woke up. I didn't know where I was. I was in Red Deer, Alberta. And I went, okay, I've made some serious career mistakes along the way. It's time to get out of this and do something else.
Yeah. Well, Frankie has a line in the show about how he's taken every gig from Medicine Hat, Alberta to Fly Spec, North Dakota or something like that. And we are taking those gigs.
Yeah, and they're still out there doing it.
You know? They're still out there doing it. And we have a lot of shows like that, too, where we have a one-nighter here, a one-nighter there. But it's... But so great to be in Toronto.
I do wake up every so often and think to myself, I did sell 175 million records. This
He wakes up like that more often than not.
It's so strange. And then I guess that's not true sometimes.
Only sometimes, though. Such a treat to have the guys in the room. We could spend all day with these guys. It's just so much fun. You got to see the show on stage, but it's only here till St. Patrick's Day. And again, for tickets, as usual, randymervish.com, right?
Correct.
There you go. Guys, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.